Nuketown Radioactive number 76 for Sunday, January 25th, 2009. My Christmas-turned-winter reading list is front and center on this episode of Radioactive as I run down the books I've been reading recently, including Revelation Space by Alistair Reynolds, The Last Colony by John Scalzi, and Star Wars Omnipedia, Tales of the Jedi, Volume 1. I also talk about my new writing gig at GameCrier.com and try out Cute PDF, a free PDF writer for Windows. Nuketown Radioactive, the occasional podcast about life, liberty, and the pursuit of geekdom. I am your host, Ken Newquist, and this is the first of my experimental podcasts, the newer, faster, shorter podcasts that hopefully will allow me to get out more shows and more in 1 month, but we'll see how that goes. The first bit of Nuketown news I have this week is that there's a new game review website out there, and I'm writing for it. It's called GameCrier.com, and it's aimed at getting quality game reviews on the web. Now, things that they'll be looking at are board games, role-playing games, card games, I think the occasional video game. And I'm really excited about this particular project because this is something that I had been thinking about earlier in the year. Well, actually, late in last year, because I found myself wanting to write some more role-playing game reviews and get them published on gaming websites. And it turns out, you know, there aren't a lot of really great places to go and get your game reviews published. I tried Pyramid, but unfortunately they changed their format before I could get my my review published there. Sci-fi.com doesn't really run that many RPG reviews. And, well, you know, there's Gaming Report, which will run the occasional review and, you know, the obligatory reviews on RPGNet, but I really wanted something different. I really wanted something that was dedicated to putting out really solid reviews, and it's looking like GameCrier is going to do that. My first review is up on the site. You can find it by clicking the link in the show notes. I reviewed Star Wars Scum and Villainy, which is the new source book out for the Star Wars RPG, actually the Star Wars Saga Edition RPG, and I like the book. It's basically a book for running a Fringer campaign if you want to have your heroes be a little bit more gray and a little bit less black and white. If you want to explore the cracks where society falls apart, well, this is your book. It's got a lot of kind of crunchy rules for new races and feats and talents and stuff. Fairly combat-oriented, fairly kind of trick-oriented, I guess you could say. A little less role-playing than I was kind of hoping for, at least in terms of stuff that your scoundrel could do when trying to infiltrate a base or something like that. But the real value of this book comes in that it allows you to, or rather it gives you, what you need to run a Fringer campaign. So it's got random spaceport generation, it's got random job generation, it's got somewhere in the neighborhood of like 10 mini-adventures that you can run, maybe 8 to 10. I don't remember the exact number. And it has a full-blown module in the back. So for GMs, I mean, this is a no-brainer. This is a great book to have, even if you're not running a full-time Fringer campaign, because it's great to be able to just pick up this book and say, oh, all right, I'm going to use this, I'm going to use that. And there's nothing says that you actually have to run it for the scoundrels in your campaign. You could flip it on its head and say, okay, well, these are the crimes that my campaign heroes are going to try and prevent. So all in all, pretty good book. I liked it. You can find the link to it in the show notes. I'm going to be writing about one review a month for Game Crier, maybe a little more. We'll see how it shakes out. But what can I say? I'm pretty excited about it. You can find it at www.gamecrier.com. Now, another utility that I came across, well, I guess it was during the holiday break, is Cute PDF. This is a nifty little app that basically allows you to create quick and easy PDFs on your Windows machine. Now, as a Mac guy, I have grown somewhat used to the idea that I don't actually have to have Acrobat installed on my machine to create PDFs, because PDF is a native format for the Mac. You can just choose print and from any document, and boom, instantly you have a PDF. Not so much on Windows. QtPDF solves that particular problem. It basically installs a PDF printer on your Windows machine. You hit print and it creates a PDF for you. This is very handy when you need to print receipts or something like that. And I've been using it a lot on my Windows machine. I now have a dual boot partition on my Mac, which I think I talked about on an earlier edition of the podcast. But basically what that means is that I run Mac OS as my normal operating system. But occasionally when I need to pay the bills or do something Windows specific, I'll boot into Windows. And this really fills a void that was... This really fills a void that existed in my Windows landscape. So you should check it out. The web address for that one is, I believe, www.cutepdf.com.
I'm sorry, sir. We're about to close for lunch.
Lunch be damned. I'm looking for an important book whose very teachings will rend the veils between the worlds and bring forth great Cthulhu himself.
We have many books, sir. Also charms, sigils, filters, phylacteries and educational films, giant pandas...
A special and particular book. I seek the Unaussprechlichen Kulten of Wilhelm von Junz.
Goblin Press or Folio Edition?
Goblin Press.
Sorry, we don't have that, sir.
Folio Edition, then.
I'm sorry, we don't have that either, sir.
Very well. How about the Cathat Aquadingen?
Just sold the last one today, sir.
Damn. What about De Vermis Mistress?
It's on back order, sir.
The Altdown Shards?
I'm sorry.
Revelations of Glarkey?
9 or 12 volume edition.
Both? Any?
No, I'm afraid not, sir.
The Necronomicon?
It's awaiting reprint in paperback.
Well, what do you have then?
Well, if you just care to walk through here into this dimly lit back room, sir, I'm sure you'll find something of interest.
Righty-ho. My lord, that's disgusting. No, stay away from me. Get off! No!
Oh well, I did warn him it was lunchtime.
Lovecraftiana, the little shop of cosmic horrors from Yogg-Sothoth. www.lovecraftiana.com.
Now, as I mentioned in Radioactive number 75, I got a lot of books for Christmas, which is very exciting stuff. I've really been itching to read some new novels, and I finally got the chance over Christmas to do it. So I wanted to run down some of the stuff that I've been reading and some of the stuff I'm looking forward to reading over the next couple of weeks. The first book that I read over Christmas break was Revelation Space by Alistair Reynolds. I was in the mood for a really good hybrid space opera / hard SF book, and Reynolds really delivered. Revelation Space is a novel that wraps itself around a cosmological mystery. Basically, what happened to cause the extinction of this ancient Amaritin? I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but in any case, this alien civilization. And the question is, will solving this particular mystery save the human race or end up destroying it? The book gets a little thick in the middle. It could have lost about 50 pages or so of political scheming, but it really throttles up in the last third to reach a really really satisfying conclusion. While this is the first book in a series, it doesn't read like the first book in a series. There are no unnatural cliffhangers, and it's nicely self-contained. So I recommend checking it out if you're in the mood for, like I say, a nice hybrid space opera hard SF book. Now, the next book I read was John Scalzi's The Last Colony. I've been a big fan of Scalzi's. I really enjoyed his first two novels, Old Man's War and The Ghost Brigades. Those were both more military SF books, very much in the vein of Robert Heinlein in Starship Troopers. With this book, he kind of settles things down. He gets out of the military SF and follows two of his main characters, John Perry and his clone wife, who used to be in Special Forces, and they've settled down to a nice post-military life. They're living on a colony. John is serving as an ombudsman, and suddenly the military's back. They want John and his wife to serve as chief administrators on Earth's newest colony, and it's an okay setup. I'm not really sure where this book kind of went awry. I mean, I enjoyed it. It's an adequate conclusion to the series, but it really felt rushed, and it really felt like it could have used another 50 pages, maybe another 100 pages of exposition, because there's this grand alien conspiracy that's going on, and I don't want to give away the details to it, but it just felt like about halfway through the book, Scalzi's like, oh man, I need to reach my page count here. I'm in danger of going over, so I'll just kind of do this info dump in the middle that'll give away the... nuts and bolts of this grand conspiracy, and it just felt, well, I don't know, it felt a little cheated. It felt like it was too easy to reveal exactly what was going on in the galaxy. The other thing that was really annoying, and I think is probably more symptomatic of why I didn't like about this book, is that about halfway through, well, maybe a third of the way through the book, once our heroes have arrived on their planet, they encounter this aboriginal alien species. There's a misunderstanding, some people get injured, some people get killed, and then it just kind of ends. They don't come back. You know, the story just kind of ignores them and moves on to these great galactic intrigues, which, you know, was disappointing. I kind of wished that this alien contact story had played out in some way. It kills me that it was introduced, played a major role in the life of the colony, and then was gone without without another word. So it was kind of a disappointing end to the series. I'm not overly disappointed by this book. I don't think it's a bad book. I really enjoyed a lot of the dialogue in this novel, but, oh man, I really wish you could go back and throw in another 50 pages to kind of address some of these things that left me hanging. Now, the last book I read was actually a graphic novel. It was Star Wars Omnipedia, Tales of the Jedi, Volume 1, which consists of three stories, The Golden Age of the Sith, Ulik-Kel-Drama, and The Beast Wars of Onderon, and the saga of Nami Sunrider. All these were set about 3,000 to 4,000 years before the Battle of Yavin, as depicted in Star Wars 4, A New Hope. And it's a good book, particularly because of the second two stories. The Golden Age of the Sith is kind of like this huge, overwrought story, and it didn't really feel definitively Star Wars-ish to me. It felt to me like they were trying to paint on too big of a canvas. They were trying to depict this huge war between the Sith and the Republic, and it just never really felt adequately huge. I think the second two stories worked much better because they followed a handful of Jedi in a specific situation, much more like the actual Star Wars movies, right, where you have these big galactic battles going on, but you're following the characters, and the battles are kind of happening in the background, and the overall story is happening in the background. So you're able to really kind of paint on this huge canvas, but you're able to pull it off because you're focusing on individual characters. And I think that's where these short stories really succeeded. Overall, I think if you're running a KOTOR campaign like I am, it's worth picking up because it provides some great background material for this era. And I got to say, it's really inspired me to pick up Volume 2, but you know, you just got to go into it thinking, okay, the Golden Age is going to be weak, but the other two stories are going to make up for it. So what's next on my reading list? We've got The Amber Spyglass by Philip Pullman, which is book 3 of his Dark Materials. The Golden Compass, which you may have heard of, it was in movie theaters not too long ago, was book number 1. About halfway through that book, I bought it while I was in Portland because I totally blew through Scalzi's book on the way out to Portland. And so far, I'm enjoying it. Nowhere near as good as The Golden Compass, but, you know, I like these characters, so I'm interested in where they're going to go. After I finish The Amber Spyglass, I think I'm going to pick up one of the two space opera anthologies that I got for Christmas. I think I'm probably going to lead off with the new space opera because it's a little bit smaller and thus easier to carry back and forth and to work. But after I finish that one, I will move on to the space opera Renaissance. You can check out my Christmas 2008 reading list and my Winter 2008 reading list on Goodreads. There are links to them in the show notes.
Hey, this is Fred Hicks from Evil Hat. Looking for RPG podcasts? You got them at rpgpodcast.com.
So that'll about do it for this edition of Nuketown Radioactive. I want to know what you guys think about the new format. I know things were a little rushed tonight, but I really want to go and watch Primeval on DVD, and I've got this new Force Unleashed campaign guide that I need to check out. And, oh yeah, I really wanted to get this podcast recorded in under a half an hour. So anyway, I want to know what you guys think of the new podcast format. You can email me at nuketown@gmail.com. You can stop by the website at nuketown.com and post a comment on the show notes. And finally, you can follow me on Twitter. My username there is NukeHavoc.